Today is Heather's last Sunday. It's really hard to let people go that you love so much, and I mean, I know I love her. I think all of us love Heather immensely. And it's not that she's gone forever, but she's leaving us to go to school, but leaving with a dream in the purposes of God that God would do some remarkable things in her life. One of the things that's difficult for me, there are some people, you know, Jesus saw Nathanael in the Bible, and he said, "Now there is an Israelite in whom there is no guile." And that's what Heather's like. She's a lover of people. She's a peacemaker. She absolutely, unequivocally, without reservation, lays down her life for the kingdom of God and for people. And we have been just so completely blessed in all this time to have her. So I'm hoping that it's not going to be forever. But I asked her to come today and just share a few things that are on her heart. And then after that, we're going to pray for her and just send her off with blessing.
Hello. So I'm just going to start kind of with a story. Well, the story of what's gotten me to here and what God's been speaking. So at the beginning of May, Leah, which is well-known to most of you, but if not, just a huge part, like sisters to many, but my best friend was diagnosed with leukemia. And that threw my world, like, upside down. Like, I was so comfortable just with anything. Like, I was doing youth, and I was, you know, there's so much for me to do, just always, like, furthering my walk with God, right? Like, there's just so much. But then I was just thrown upside down. And then that's when God said, "Okay, go." And I was like, "Okay, I'm ready to go." Like, I'm just antsy now because I was so comfortable, and now my world was just thrown around. And then, so in October, we went to South Africa for the World Equip. And while I was there, God kind of put Vancouver on my heart. And so I talked to, like, a few people. I assumed it was kind of for the church there, because we have a partnering church there. But he, like, through pursuing, like, leads and stuff, it was kind of not now. Like, he was like, "Here's Vancouver for you, but not yet." And so I kind of doubted if it was from God, because I was like, maybe I just spoke that to myself. But so when Leah was diagnosed and she had to go to Vancouver, and I was like, "Oh, maybe now's, like, the time to go." So kind of prayed about it, you know, and, like, I felt peace too. So I found a school, applied, and was accepted. And I guess, so it's for graphic design. So I'm going for graphic design, which is something I've wanted for a while. Like, working at Speedy, I've kind of got to, like, touch on it a little bit. And it was just something I wanted, but not yet. Same thing, like, Vancouver, not yet. Graphic design, not yet. But then this happened, and bam, go, right? So thus began the trusting for me. Midway through June, it was time to look for a place to live. And there's a story that I remembered when Kenny was here. So Maureen and Kenny, they visited in June, for those who don't know, from South Africa. And they just poured into our church. And he told me a story about when him and his wife, so Kenny and Maureen, were in L.A. And it was like midnight there. But over in Johannesburg, his son, their son, was getting onto a plane, but called them asking for extra air miles to get upgraded to first class. And, like, Kenny, he's, like, telling the story, and he's, like, "I was just so mad, like, 12 p.m., or a.m., I guess, actually, 12 a.m., and you're calling me for that? Like, that's just ridiculous." He hung up, and then Kenny, Maureen gently says, like, "Well, isn't that how we can approach God? Like, you know, like, isn't that how we can deal with the Father?" And so Kenny, I guess, like, you know, calmed down and just corrected, called his son back, and is like, "Yeah, my boy, like, you can have the air miles, like, upgrade to first class, like, go crazy, in a sense. Like, I just love you." So Ephesians 3:12 says, "In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence." And then Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." So that story, coupled with those truths that I knew, I was like, I'm going to be confident, and I'm going to be bold, and I'm going to ask God for the best. Like, I'm going to ask for somewhere that's close to school and, like, a great roommate, cheap, kind of, because it's Vancouver. So I asked him. I was bold. I was like, okay, I want your best. Like, obviously, I trust what you're going to do. You're gonna make a way for me, and it's maybe not what I assume is the best, but this is what I want, so I'm gonna ask you for it anyways. Also, when Kenny and Maureen were here, they shared about how Jesus came to the disciples during the storm on the lake. I'll just read it. So it's in Matthew 14. I'm gonna start at verse 23. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. That's Jesus. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." And then Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down off the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me!" Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" So they had mentioned the fourth watch and how there's four watches of the night, and the fourth is the last, which is like almost morning. And so they've been dealing with this storm for a long, long time. And so they taught me about this, like, but Jesus came at the end. He showed up, right? And so they were telling me about this. And I was like, well, God, if you show up, like, if you come through with a house, a place, like, in the fourth watch, I'll still, like, I'll keep my eyes on you still. Like, there will be storm, and it's going to be kind of questionable, but I'm going to, like, I'm declaring it now. Like, I'm going to keep my eyes on you. I'm not going to be like Peter and take my eyes off you. I'm not going to look at the storm and how hard it is. I'm going to keep my eyes on you. So as far as the place, like, I didn't find a place, still not, and then I found a perfect place. But I would still have to wait, because this place, like, the girl who is renting it, she doesn't even get it until September 4th or something like that. Anyways, long story short, I still am waiting. I still don't know. Like, but I'm going down to Vancouver. And I mean, I have a place to rest my head. It's not like I'm going to be living on a bench. But I am still trusting. And so it's kind of not a finished story in that way. I wanted to know earlier, like, I wanted him to come through on the first watch. And then the second, I'm like, okay, the third's good. Like, that's nice. And he's like, no, still trust me. Like, will you trust me? I'm like, I will keep my eyes on you. And it's just daily sometimes. And this Layla Gifty Akita says, "I may not understand all of what God does, but I am sure of his faithfulness." And that's just like my heart for you guys, is I want you, even though you can't see what God is doing, I want you to know that God's faithful and that he has you. And just... that you would know your God, that you would know his faithfulness always, and just how much he loves you. Again, like we were singing over and over, like, he just loves you a lot. And he's never dropped you, like, he's never failed you, so he's not going to start. Just remember what he's done already going forward. Like, there's been times, even, like, going on trips or whatever, like, waiting for God to provide, he's always come through. So now with the house, I'm like, no, you've always come through. Like, it's not a question. I think sometimes we kind of forget the power that we have with him, like, with God, in the sense, like, we are his children, and we get to come boldly and confidently. And I just want you guys to kind of utilize that, like, be bold with it, with things, like, even dreams that you maybe thought were, well, that was a dream once, but not now, like, look into it and, like, ask for it, pray for it, war for it. There's a verse, 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, three verses. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have the divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So be strong, but not just by yourself. It says that we are strong when we're weak, as in we've got nothing. Like, we can't find a place. I don't know, whatever your thing is right now. But you have power because you are the child of a king, the king, right? So I just encourage you to take hold of that. I have a quote to share, not relevant, well, it's just about you guys now, and just leaving now. This quote sums it up. It says, in friendship, we think we have chosen our peers. In reality, a few years difference in the dates of our birth, a few more miles between certain houses, the choice of one university instead of another, the accident of a topic being raised at a first meeting. Any of these choices may have kept us apart. But for a Christian, there are, strictly speaking, no chances. A secret master of ceremonies has been at work. Christ, who said to disciples, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you," can truly say to every group of Christian friends, to every church, "Ye have not chosen one another, but I have chosen you for one another." The friendship is not a reward for our discriminating and good taste in finding one another out. It is the instrument by which God reveals to each of us the beauties of others. And I have seen so many beauties in each and every one of you, and I'm so grateful. Like, words don't even... I grew up here. It's been like 12 years, I think, since I started going here. And I grew up. And each of you has poured into me, or poured into others that have poured into me, or blessed me, or been opportunity to bless. And so thank you.
But we want to take a minute just to pray for Heather. And so those who would like to come out, just come and surround her. And those of you who are in your seat, you can pray for her where you are. And we're just going to gather around her, lay our hands on her, bless her, and expect God to do great things in the days ahead through Heather's life. So,
God gave me this scripture, actually, at the beginning of the week, as I dreaded this day. Well, and of course, I know, you know, I'm happy for you and I'm excited, but I grieve the loss almost of having you close. But God just really put on my heart that you are an Abraham in this generation. And in Genesis 15, it says, "Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward." And then in Hebrews, sorry, I'm turning to it. Hebrews 11, when it's talking about the people of faith, it said, "By faith, Abraham," and I'm going to say by faith, Heather, "when called to go to a place she would later receive as her inheritance, obeyed and went, even though she didn't know where she was going." And there's that part of the journey that's unknown. But by faith, she made her home in this promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. She lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob. And I just think about like that, even the unknown of your dwelling and how God is going to provide for financially and all of these questions. And it says, "Who were heirs with him of the same promise?" And this is the part that I just feel is like a statement of you. "For she was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God." I just want to lift up Heather, and I want to even just affirm her that she has been a faith builder in my life, and I know in so many of our lives. The testimony of her life, the way that she has sold out to Jesus, the way she's made decisions in her life based on the call in the kingdom of God, when other people would focus on other things or make decisions in a very worldly mindset, she has decided, on her own to say, no, I will go where you send me, God. I will do what you want me to do. And God, I just pray in this next season, God, I pray that you would begin to stir up in her even more faith, God, as she sees you provide for every single need. God, the practical and the spiritual, God, that you would even provide for her emotional health, God, as she's there in a new environment. God, and I also pray that she would be a minister of God to Leah. God, that she would speak truth and life to her. God, that she would minister with the ability that you supply to her, God, to speak. She has an inroad that very few have, being down there with her, to be able to see her on a regular basis and to see her face to face, to minister to her. And God, I just pray that you would give her the words to speak. God, you'd quicken her physical body. God, you'd protect her, God, in a big city, God, on her own. God, I pray for all of these things, but we thank you. We thank you for the deposit of faith that she has put in our church. God, she's put in my life, and she's put in all of our lives.
And Heather, I pray that God will be with you, and when you go to school, may you make lots of new friends, and we're all gonna miss you, and God's watching over you, and I hope to see you probably when I go to Vancouver.
I just had this verse for you, Heather. It's Zephaniah 3:16. On that day they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. And just in that, my sense in that was that as you go down, the presence of God doesn't change. It's not based in a location. He goes wherever you are, and he is he's celebrating over you. He's dancing over you, and he is passionately in love with you. And he's going to provide for all of your needs. He's going to take care of you. He's going to show you the way to go. He's going to open up doors, open up opportunities. And wherever you go, the Lord has already been there. He's going before you, and he's preparing the way. And Lord, I just pray, God, just even as she has had faith, God, just for a continued faith. And even when she gets down there and maybe faces some circumstances that initially are maybe discouraging or things like that, she would just remember that the promises of God that have been spoken over her life, God, the prophetic words that have been spoken over her, Lord, the giftings that have been given to her by the Spirit of God to bless Vancouver, to bless the church that she goes to bless the people that she's in contact with. And I pray that through her, she would be a blessing, and you would minister to many, many people through her, Lord.
I got a picture of you with a tool belt, and in it you have some really good tools in there, Heather. And it was just a picture, and I also see like the wall, like Nehemiah on the wall, and you're going to this place that you're building and you're going to be building, and you've got good tools in your belt, but I could see that there's some tools missing, and God's going to add some tools that you couldn't even get that even here, that you're going to get while you're down there. And even when Mark was saying about some discouragements or something that might be trying you, or even being in the fourth hour of not looking to the storm, that in that process God will give you those tools. And we often learn through the difficult circumstances of life. And so just be encouraged, Heather, as when you do face those circumstances, that just remember these words that are spoken, that it's God has ordained it, and that there are tools that he's putting in your belt to build the wall and to build the kingdom. So I just thank you for Heather, Jesus. I just pray you would be with her, that she would be open to what you have for her, Jesus. I just thank you for everything that's in her now, Lord God, and expanding her even more, Jesus. And just for that woman that she is becoming, and I just thank you for it, Lord.
I just want to agree with that word. And just another is, Heather, don't be comfortable with the comfortable. As you go into a big city from a small town, there's a lot of things that are different. And just with what Christina was saying, I'm going to say it in a little different way. I work in a shop, and sometimes you don't have the right tools to do the job. And sometimes you kind of have to be innovative in a way, I guess, and find what's around you and use that. And somehow it works out. And that's the way of the kingdom. Is you, some things that God does is kind of, to us, naturally looks abnormal. And you think, what? Is that going to work? Yes, it's going to work. Because Jesus is doing it right ahead of you. And so you can trust in him in that naturally uncomfortable environment and just be comfortable in the fact that God is doing something before you. And you can rest in that and find strength in that. And so just as you go, God has prepared you in this season to launch you into the next season. And so we just want to say, may you be blessed, Heather. And any victory that you have in Vancouver, we claim it here in Terrace too.
You know, one of the things that I think describes you, Heather, it's Ruth in the Bible, who... When she was heading back to her land, and Naomi, Ruth said to Naomi, when Naomi was telling her that she was going to go back into her own land, she said to her, "Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." And I think that is a perfect description of your life. You have made Jesus' people your people. And you have made their God your God. And we've witnessed it. We've watched it. The young of our flock, the children, the young people, the older people, they have been your people. And you've made them your people. And you really have made God your God. And I just really sense the Spirit of God say, "Well done. Well done, Heather. Well done. You have done well." And there is a legacy of fruit that has been left in this place because you have made God's people your people. And you have made God your God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for Heather. We lay our hands on her in the name of Jesus. We say, increase her, stretch her, expand her borders, open doors. Lord, in Jesus' name, take out the enemy that would seek to hinder her in any way. We pray for prosperous goings in and out. Yes, we pray, Father, that that place that she moves into would be full of light, because light has come. Jesus inside Heather enters that apartment with that friend, God. We pray light would come there and everywhere she goes. Amen. I know that you're talking about the whole church, Jesus, when you say that we are a city that is set upon a hill that cannot be hid, but that light is in individuals. And I pray, Lord, that you would shine bright, strong, clear through Heather in relationships with people, God, and in how she works and her example. And then, Father, I pray, wherever she is down there, wherever you may lead her, make her a blessing to a flock, a particular flock. God, fruitful in that place, just like she's been fruitful here. So we put her in your hands today. We love her. She's bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, God. And when her prosperities are our prosperities. Her victories are our victories. That's right. And we send her with the blessing of the Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.